Hi guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of Millennial Mirrors, a discussion on millennial life in the Middle East. This is the season finale. I hope you guys have been enjoying the season so far. On this week's episode, we have Mithail Ali, who we talked to about content creation versus consumption, how to be a little more conscious about the content you're consuming and a little more selective, as well as what you need to think about when you're creating content and putting it out into the world. She also gives us some tips and tricks. So listen in, and I hope you enjoy the episode. This episode is sponsored by Carriage, a great app for ordering what you need in a super convenient way, with no minimum orders. You could literally just order a cup of coffee. Hi, Mithail. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Shai. How are you?
Good, good. Can you give a quick introduction about yourself for the listeners who might not know who you are?
Sure. I am Mithail Ali. Mm-hmm. Supposedly a content creator.
Okay.
They call us influencers these days. In the social media for like the last 4 years, and an entrepreneur, a very baby entrepreneur for a company that I established a couple of months ago.
Okay.
Called Tekhayel.
So can you tell me a little bit about Tekhayel and what it does?
Sure. Tekhayel is a company that is all about the content, all mm-hmm. about content creation. So we either help clients or any kind of individuals to improve their content in a way or another, mm-hmm. or we actually get and adopt individuals where we can make them the next content creators, which is something a bit new in the region, and we're trying to be like a more of a talent agency,
right.
where we in a larger scale help produce better content,
mm-hmm.
At the same time, invest in people's talents.
So what were your reasons for starting it? Because I was looking through the website and there was a lot of interesting messaging about kind of content and what content means and all of that. So what were your reasons for starting Tekhayel?
I think the main idea that I had is that after looking into so many, I studied media, so after looking into so many things that I have been studying mm-hmm. Throughout my college work or afterwards, I realized that everything in media was the history we made
mm-hmm.
Back then. So whenever we want to study something about history, we in a way or another go back to the newspaper or go back to the TV or go back to the radio, what they used to say or whatever it is.
Right.
So, which made me realize that whatever we're creating today in social media is the history we're creating
mm-hmm.
for today. 100,000 years ago, people, that's very ambitious, 1,000 years ago, people are going to actually look at us and look at how we lived our lives. And social media is, I'll say internet in general, is the place.
I always think about that. I always think about like, oh my God, 1,000 years from now, people are just going to see all these pictures and be like, people were obsessed with avocado toast for some reason in the early 2000s.
Like, one of the things that I was saying, like, I want people to know that we were more than Kiki dancing.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just that. It's not about really only having fun, although we do have a lot of fun nowadays. Mm-hmm. But it's also about our values, how we're changing, how we're adapting with a very fast pace age where everything is changing around us. And looking at the Arabs or the region content in particular, that was, to me, is like a very wake-up call of, okay, we are not creating any good content. Now, I took part of the responsibility being, I would think, being a content creator, I took a lot of responsibility into that. And then I thought, maybe that's in a smaller scale. What if I make it bigger?
Mm-hmm.
So in my scale, where I come from, I can do whatever I want on my page, but that's not good enough or big enough. So Tekhayel came after that.
I love the name, by the way. Tekhayel means imagine, right?
Yes, Tekhayel means imagine. Yeah. And the reason I called it that is because I keep saying Tekhayelo the whole time. That was like a bit of me in that company. Yeah.
So you said you took a part of the responsibility on your page.
Yes.
So what did that look like when you decided to kind of take a bit more responsibility for the content you were creating?
Now, first, I think it was because you get dragged as a content creator, especially in the region when you start and now being all trendy, you get dragged with the idea of investments and money and working with big brands and big names, and you always want to have that in your profile. My reason was because I realized that there's a lot of projects that I've been doing or events that I've been going for, or that I'm actually giving my energy to something that is not adding anything to me.
Right.
So I think the change in my page was me realizing that I need to create conscious content. Right. And work with things consciously when it comes to the projects I take or the places I go. It's always where I really want my energy to be there and to actually gain energy from that or gain something in return. And being picky with my projects or being true to myself in another sense made it easier for me to have, how do I call that, an umbrella kind of thing where I feel that I have a line that I took and I'm not really distracted with so many temptations and names and different projects that I don't really need or would add to me. It's not really true to myself.
So we don't only create content, we also consume content, right?
Yes.
In your opinion, how has the balance between consumption and creation changed in our culture over the past few years?
Now, there's definitely no balance whatsoever. Now, it's a tricky thing because we always think of consumption and creation as two different things.
Right.
Where are opposite of each other. Or they're not. They're just a part of our cycle. You have to consume something in order for you to create from it. So, as an example, for a chef to cook something, he needs to actually learn how to cook and then create something new.
Right.
So you have to consume the actual thing from the type of work and then do it again. So to me, if everyone is consuming content, that means everyone can create content.
Right.
Right? And the trick is not only the imbalance between both, because in social media now, we all have the opportunity to be both consumers and creators. The thing is, I don't think we have the balance when it comes to understanding the quality of the content and probably the responsibility that a content have out there. Like, it's not just about posting a nice picture and getting likes anymore, at least.
Right.
We have this awareness nowadays, I would say recently, where we know how important it is that whatever we put out there, not because of us only, or not because it only makes us feel good about ourselves or whatever it is, but it can make someone else feel bad about themselves. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, give me an example.
Okay, so there's a campaign lately in social media that says social media life is not real life. And that basically to target all teenagers mostly, or adults that can fall into the trap of believing everything that they see in social media.
Right.
So content creators, whoever they are, which are right nowadays like most of us, put posts because they want to feel good about their life. And maybe it is good.
Yeah.
But again, we are in another way, in another time, affecting someone else's idea of a perfect life, of a good life.
Right.
And since we're putting this out there, we are not really 100% aware of how much effect of what we put out there. And being a consumer or being a critical consumer in social media makes you a better content creator.
So if you're a critical consumer and you're much more aware of what you're consuming and how it makes you feel,
yes,
then you're going to be a lot more conscious about what you're putting out there.
Definitely.
Because you understand the relation between content and a human person's emotions who's receiving that content.
Yes, definitely. And it can actually help you a lot. Like, there's a lot of tricks that I learned out of me consuming, right? So I consume and I notice that I actually get attracted to a certain kind of content, and then my content that I put out becomes improved because of learning. So it's like a cycle that you go through.
So what are some tips and tricks for being a critical consumer of content?
Critical consumer. It might sound cheesy, but I think it's empathy.
Okay.
It's your ability to understand or to put yourself in someone else's shoe, receiving that kind of information. Because at the end of the day, every content that we see, once we consume, it's not only a joyful moment. It's also a lot of information that we get in. And we get a lot of information every day throughout social media. So It's more of understanding how being aware of how you feel and having the understanding of how others would feel. Mm. And the more relatable the content that you see, or the more effective the impact of that content that you see, you would be able to put it out there in another form, definitely, but put it out there in with the same kind of effect, hopefully.
Would you say you consume more relatable content now that you're a critical kind of consumer than you did before?
Yes. I remember when I opened social media five or four years ago, I used to follow everyone and I never stopped. Mm-hmm. I really never stopped following people. Like whenever I see an account that is interesting, I just keep following. And only a year ago where I decided maybe I should stop following certain pages or certain people that really don't really add much to me, or I don't see adding an added value. Mm-hmm. Not because what they're doing is wrong or anything. It just doesn't relate to me.
Right.
And I started unfollowing, which was very odd because I really feel mean doing that. Once you're a follower, your unfollowing becomes a really mean act. So
right.
It took me a while to understand why I'm doing that. And I did really genuinely, but then I understood that I'm doing that just to clear the kind of information that comes to me rather than just consider myself like I don't know.
I think content, like anything, even like food, like just like you think about the food that you consume and what you put into your body,
yes.
Content is what you put into your mind. And you do need to be a little more critical.
Exactly.
And a little more thoughtful about what I like to call the empty mind calories. Yeah. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes, true. You know what I mean? And we do have a lot of empty spaces in our minds because it's a very fast-paced kind of thing. We keep forgetting stuff and getting new stuff every single day. And I think it's a generation millennials kind of issue where we receive a lot of things that we really learn to just let go of others. And you always want to clear that out into like good stuff.
No, I agree with that. Do you think there's a responsibility to create content? Or do you think it's fine to just consume?
Now, to consume or to create?
Do you think it's a responsibility to create content?
Okay.
Or is it okay to just kind of consume content and not create?
If you do not understand the responsibility of the content that you create, mm-hmm. you shouldn't create. Simple as that. Because social media is there, yeah? For everyone. Yeah. And your page can be as private as it is for everyone of your family. And mm-hmm. and that's it. And that's probably safer for yourself and others. To put out there, and it's more of consuming is a part of the process. So every time, or the more you consume, basically, the more you understand how much it's affecting you, and getting into your thoughts, and then understanding the amazing responsibility behind that, and then just stop doing it unless you're obviously consciously creating.
Do you feel the big content creators in the region are like consciously creating?
You're talking about my people now.
Yeah, I'm talking about your people. What do you think of your people?
What do I think about?
I'm about to get into trouble.
Okay.
I mean, again, the
honest,
region is a big space. So I mean,
yes.
We can talk in generalities here.
Yes. Now, to be very honest with you, I am not the biggest fan of my page,
mm-hmm.
and that's because I really think I'm still in the process of figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. So I'm taking it easy on me rather than beating myself up. Into it's okay. I am trying to improve it, make it better. It's not about better content. It's more about better ideas and umbrellas and values for me to reflect out there in my page. Not being a fan of my page makes me not a fan of a lot of pages around.
Okay.
And it's not about, because I really think one of the key things that a content creator needs to have is genuinity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are genuine, then you are an amazing individual that puts their energy, life, experiences out there. And there's nothing ever wrong about that because you're being yourself.
Right.
And doing that, I get really attracted to those accounts who try as much as they can to be who they are And I truly believe, obviously, everyone in here have a message.
Right.
And if you are true to yourself, you will genuinely, really automatically just create content that is reflecting or giving back or projecting the values that you want.
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot of improvement that should be done, and that's easy said than done.
Yeah.
But I am sure we are in this phase of, we just got into it. You know, I'm sure now.
Yeah.
Like, we were basically social media consumers for the longest time.
Right.
And then fajah came something called influencers and content creators, and that was like yesterday.
Yeah.
And then for us to actually figure out rules and regulations and values and how to do such a thing, a new job that never existed before,
right,
is another level of understanding. It needs time, it needs awareness, and it needs a lot of things. And that's why I really support a lot of the campaigns that comes now on social media about social media life is not real life or anything like that, because we are creating that awareness. We are being aware and creating that awareness about the content we create and people, on how people feel about it in a way or another.
Do you feel we create content differently in this region than in the rest of the world?
The sad fact is we try to create content as close as we can to the other parts of the world.
Okay.
Which to me...
How so?
Okay, so there's a lot of... So in Tekhayel, we get to meet a lot of... So we're starting the adoption program very soon in this year. And this is a special kind of program where we adopt content creators that we think have the potential to be the next micro-influencers in a certain kind of thing, because we really lack that. In the UAE, we don't have any micro-influencers, really rarely. And... So we meet a lot of people where, or I personally meet a lot of people where I see potential in talking or influencing about a certain topic. And every time I meet someone or know someone that and have this conversation with, there's always a program or a YouTube channel or something that they refer to from other parts of the world that they want to do something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's always an example. There's always...
frame of reference, kind
yes,
of. Yes,
yeah. Exactly. Which, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not original enough.
Right.
At the end of the day, as much as I like having inspirations from other... platforms, YouTubes, and other content creators outside, I really always have that question: do you think it will work here, and why? And asking yourself that question and repeating, giving it 5 or 6 answers,
right,
would actually gives you a sense of: will your brother listen to this? Will your sister? Will your mother? Who are you affecting really here? And I would always encourage to create something more original than bringing an idea from outside, because you never know, because you know your culture better rather than bringing something from outside as an inspiration and then end up being like another extension of it.
No, I completely agree. I think a lot of the time I get approached by people who want to start podcasts, and they always just want to start a podcast that's very similar to something that's already been done by the West, just like you said.
Yeah.
And then it's always, for me, it's like, okay, but what's the new perspective that you're bringing? Exactly. Why should someone come and listen to your podcast versus the one you just referenced?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? What are you bringing to the table,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And I think that's always the question that you always have to think about: what's the perspective you're bringing to it that makes it uniquely yours?
Yeah, and we always use the idea of translating things.
Well, I'm going to do it in Arabic.
I'm going to do it exactly in Arabic. But it's not original enough. Again, it's the whole idea. It's not just how you say it or do it. It's also where it comes from. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with Mathiel. I want to talk to you kind of about what are some of the main messages you aim to convey, and what are the main influences that influence your content. All right, we'll be right back, guys.
Mm-hmm.
This episode is sponsored by Carriage UAE, where you can get everything from food to groceries and even pet supplies. As someone who orders pretty much everything, I pay a lot in delivery charges every month. But now you can sign up for Carriage Black for 20 dirhams a month and get unlimited free deliveries, which saves me a bunch of money so I can order even more stuff. If you haven't tried it out yet, go to your app store and download the Carriage app. Check out the episode description of this podcast for more info.
And we're back with Mathayel.
Hi. Back to the questions I don't really like.
Yes, but yes. I mean, these are the questions I like to ask.
Tell me, Jean.
Okay, so we spoke a bit about kind of what are the main messages you try to put out, but I also wanted to know, what are some of the biggest influences to your content?
What influences me, or what do I try to influence?
No, what influences you?
Okay, what influences me is, so again, I'm a big supporter of change, transformation, breaking rules, I would say, mm-hmm. in a very good way, children. But yeah, and I think most of the content that I consume is something relates to that. It's mm-hmm. either have either creativity or a new idea that they're trying to approach, or a new value that they're trying to talk about, a new concept, or anything that would actually make me thrive into understanding that this is a changing world and this is the changings that are happening. And I think that's usually what I try to consume. And on the other hand, I'm a good, like, I would consider myself a good reader. So I not only consume, I try not only consume social media, I also consume a lot of books and articles and YouTube documentaries or whatever it is that can just in a way or another improve and help with my content. Now, I always, there's this concept that I always work around, is that I always want to, in a way or another, to reduce consumption, let's say in social media, okay. I'll take it as an example. I try, for me to be more creative, I need to reduce consumption, and for me to be, or the other way around. So I try between now and then, and I think people notice that by now, to go on a social media detox. Mm. So I actually have like a post on social media saying, social media detox, see you later. And I actually sign out every social media account or app that I have. And that's an odd thing to be done by a content creator, because this is practically your job.
Yeah.
But I do that because I really think for me to get more creative, I need to reduce consumption. And I spend time consuming other stuff, like meeting people or nature or reading or whatever it is that actually gives me this refresh button
thing.
For me to go back and give really like content that is like from the heart, and it's very important for me to have those breaks. And every time, although a lot of the content we consume can actually get you creative too, but again, you'll be picking it up from other people rather than yourself. So yeah, that's one of the things that I do, and that's one of the things that I think influence my content. So it's not only the consumption that I do, it's also the reduction of my consumption if I do.
I think anyone who works in the creative space, or anyone who's trying to be creative, will always realize that at some point they need to kind of reduce the noise level for themselves in order for things to be processed and come to the surface.
Exactly. And I keep saying it becomes loud. Social media becomes really loud.
And it becomes numbing to a certain extent.
Yes,
because you're just kind of scrolling through, and it does, you don't kind of take a moment to breathe.
Exactly. And it's very, I think sometimes we get in this meditative state where we just scroll and just, and doesn't really, we don't even read, we don't even look, it becomes one of the things that we do, like walking, or just, we just keep scrolling. And when I reach that point, and I think right now I'm
getting close.
Yes. No, actually right now I just posted, like, two days ago, I posted my social media detox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in the last week I had the noise. I felt the noise. It was too much for me to see that. And then I got to as you said, the numb state where I was just scrolling. I'm not even looking. It's just one of the things that I do in a day. And then I was like, wait a minute, why am I wasting time and energy into doing something that is not obviously adding anything to me, or the other way around? So I just decided to go on a detox. It feels right in the right moment. Mm. And then I go back because it's, well,
your job.
My job. Okay. It's a hate love relationship, I believe.
So, I mean, you're going to find me to always be sympathetic to that, because I was one of those people that deleted social media off my phone for
Oh, really?
Like, I didn't have Instagram for like 5 years. And wow. The only reason I restarted it was when I started Millennial Mirrors last season. They told me, okay, you need to kind of have an Instagram account to kind of help promote it and stuff like that.
Yes.
So then I went on there, and I mean, it was a nightmare. My intern, wow. Dilara, literally had to show me, like, there was no Instagram stories, there was no Instagram video, there was none of that back in the
day.
Yeah,
exactly.
So she was, like, showing me how to hold a phone. The phone sizes were different. I didn't even know how to take a selfie, you know? Wow.
Really great idea of reducing consumption.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, I just kind of, I went completely the opposite direction. So now I'm kind of relearning how to use it. So I can sympathize. And yeah. I definitely am one of those people that, like you, I like to have a switch off. And I think it's also, people need to learn what inspires them.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to kind of find it. Because for some people, it is reading a book. For some people, it's taking a walk in nature.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Some people, it's traveling. For some people, it's going for a drive with their coffee and listening to music.
Exactly.
Find what inspires you and remember to always tap into it. Because I think that's one of the major things you can do to keep yourself from going into that numb state, exactly. Whatever it is. And different things will work for different people. So not just because someone likes to read a book, you have to read a book in order to be one
exactly.
of those people.
Exactly.
No, like figure
yes.
out what works for you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And I really think the way you figure that out is for you to just sit with yourself. Mm. And it's amazing once you notice it, how little do we sit with ourselves?
Mm.
How little we just really decide to just sit
yeah.
in a room with no phone, with no TV, with no people around, and just do nothing.
Yeah.
And doing nothing is, I think, one of the best things I learned. Now, it was really hard. It is really hard.
It
is. Me having two jobs right now, it's very hectic. But I make sure that I have time for me, just an hour in a week at least, just for me to sit and with nothing that comes in or nothing that goes out. It's just me with myself. And I think the more time you spend with yourself, the more you get to understand what inspires you, what makes you feel better, what is more interesting for you to go read or watch or whatever it is. And that's probably the best thing you can ever do to yourself.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think especially in this region, because you're always such a part of the collective.
Yes.
You know, your immediate family, your cousins, your friends, and you usually are living in the place where you went to school. So your friends
yeah.
network is huge, and
true.
You're constantly busy going from one place to the other, that you rarely are left in a situation where you're alone with your thoughts. And for me, when I moved to Dubai 4 years ago, that was a huge experience for me, because I'd completely removed myself from my collective and my network.
Yes.
And I put myself in a brand new city.
Nice.
Where suddenly I didn't have all these interactions.
Yes.
And I was just spending so much time by myself. And it was super scary to begin with.
Exactly, yes.
I hadn't experienced it before.
Yes.
You're suddenly reflecting on all your life decisions
exactly.
and everything that you've done because there is just complete quiet. There's nowhere to rush off to. There is nowhere to, like, you know,
get busy with.
Yeah. You're suddenly forced to just face your own existence. And it can be very scary, but it can also be life-changing in the most amazing way possible.
Yes, it is. It is. I totally agree. I know a lot of people, and I've been saying this to a lot, this one advice of just try to sit with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And always like an alien kind of talk, like, what? Sit with myself. Like, where? Like, how? And I try as much as I can to, at least when it comes to my friends and family, to actually bring out this the new idea of actually just, it's a new idea, sadly.
Yeah.
It's a new idea to just sit with yourself. And I can't tell you how many people have been like responding to it, was like, I can't even have a meal alone, or I can't even go to the movies alone. Are
yeah.
you telling me I should actually just sit alone?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, yes, please do. Like, please spend some more time with yourself. And as you said, it gets really scary. It gets really irritating at the very beginning. But with time, you actually enjoy your company.
Yeah, you get agitated, I think, at the beginning. But then, yeah, you like, I remember, because I travel sometimes by myself to go on vacation. Mm-hmm. And like, some of my friends will be like, so what happens when you have to, like, have a meal? And I'm like, I just go to a restaurant and I sit down and I have a meal. And they're like, by yourself? Like a psychopath? I'm like, what do you mean?
Exactly. You know what
I mean? I just sit there, I eat a meal, it's fine. And, like, what's sad is actually that I'm, like, for example, I was in Bali the other time. And, like, I'm by myself, I'm having a meal, and I'm looking at all these, like, people or couples around me who are sitting together, technically speaking, but they're both on their phones. So they might as well be sitting alone.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
I totally agree.
I get what you're talking about. I want to go back to a point you made earlier about telling people to ask themselves questions before they kind of create content.
Yes.
What are some of the questions you would tell someone to ask themselves before they create any kind of piece of content and decide to put it out there in the world?
I think my answer to this question would always be what I say, what I ask myself,
mm-hmm.
Or what kind of questions do I give to myself before posting anything. And one of the most important things that I do, and this is a trick. Now, let me give you a trick.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, now this is a trick that I give to all my clients, whether it's a personal or a business kind of profile. I just take everything from them and give them a paper and a pen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, either I do it for them or they can do it themselves and ask them one single question. But I give it an hour for them to answer.
Okay.
And that question, that's in the very beginning, okay? So I ask them, if the brand, whatever it is, was a person, how would he, she be?
Mm-hmm.
What would she, he be? So they get really shocked with the question at first. And then they try to imagine it, right? Mm-hmm. So they end up having a guy, he's in 30s. And then I keep saying, okay, then does he have a beard? Shoes, Kandora, watch, what kind of car, what kind of house, how does his room look like? And I go into the very much details of that person's life.
Yeah.
And the reason I do that is because I want them to get in touch with the person that is behind that page rather than anything else. Because at the end of the day, we are in social media to have this human interaction, right?
Right.
So even businesses' accounts should have this human touch in a way or another. Yeah. So how do you keep it consistent and how do you keep it humanized is basically where you turn it into an actual person that thinks in a certain way, listens to a certain music, and an individual that is separate from you. Probably doesn't exist, but it's just the person that you know.
Yeah.
And then automatically, every time you post, you just put your shoes, and I keep telling them, just leave your shoes and put your shoes in that person's shoe and put your legs in that position. And then say something about what would I say, how would I do things as that person. And that itself gives you a lot of automatically your page becomes more consistent, your the way you reply to people, the way you get back to people, your interaction, your posting, your filters, even a color scheme, whatever it is, it all just goes back to that one particular human or not that you created. So I also do that the same to individuals who try to do or to be in social media. So when I do that to them, I usually say, do not talk about yourself as a whole. As much as I want you to be a true person in social media, I don't want to put the whole of you in social media. There's always something personal that has to stay within you as in your life experience, and something that you, a part of you that you want out there. Just an extension of you. It's not another image that you're creating, but just an extension. And I want to know, what do you think of that extension, that image, that person? So I call them the little Mithail.
Okay.
so what would the little Mshari be?
Okay.
And we ask questions about the little Mshari. So he can have a lot of things of you, about you, obviously. And then other things that you would want to have. You are working with yourself to have, or whatever it is that you aspire. And we create that little Mshari personality. And that is how I create my content. So I go back to the little Mithail or the big Mithail, whatever you want. And I go to, what would she say?
Okay.
Like, I would say a lot of things. Right. That Mithail, my extension of that needs to be consistent. So okay. I think that's the way it's a really odd question to say, what would she say?
That makes sense. I'll be honest, like, that's a really good piece of advice, which, I mean, I'm going to talk about with you later, because okay. I'm scared shitless of my Instagram account. And when someone leaves a comment or a question on one of my posts,
I don't know what to say.
And I'm just like, I'll just double like the heart button and throw my phone. Just like, so to anyone who's ever left a comment on one of my photos, I apologize.
Exactly. Now I know.
So I think that's a very valid piece of advice. And I think it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think I learned that the hard way, so why not give it to people the easy way?
Yeah, right? No, I think that definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're...
You had another question, I think.
No, we're coming to actually the last three questions, which we ask of all our guests.
Okay, cool. Okay?
Yella.
Now, there's a sense of competition now.
No, they're okay. Non-competitive questions. Okay. This is a non-competitive podcast. This is a safe space. Right?
Who got the best answer?
If you don't have my favorite answer, I'll let you know, right?
Exactly. See? Okay, tell me.
So what is the part of the culture you grew up in that you carry with you always?
That's a very difficult question. Sorry.
Take your time.
Okay. It's really difficult for me because as much as I am a cultural girl, I don't have the sense of belonging.
Okay.
So, as always. So, and I think that's one of the things that keeps me, makes me who I am, yeah? So I don't have the belonging idea. So everything that I have from the culture in me is one of the things that I can let go or pick up at any time. I can take it with me or just leave it somewhere whenever I want because I don't have this attachment to any certain idea. I really don't belong to any culture. I would think so.
Okay.
I don't know if they call these people a name, but I'm one of them.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't think there's something that, there's a lot of things that define me, but not that I would always have. I'm a very changing person.
Okay.
Is that the best answer you have?
I can't tell you on the air. Okay. What is the quality you most value in the people you keep around you?
Okay, I love this question. I think acceptance is one big value that we need. The ability to accept people. Freedom, in a sense, people who value the freedom of choice, freedom of clothes, the freedom of whatever, is very important for me and the people around me. And genuinity. I like people who are just honest with themselves and not trying to put any kind of masks or anything and just be who they are. It's just the best relationship you can ever create.
So, I get that. Yeah. And the last question is, what makes you happy?
Why
are you so frustrated with my questions, Mithail?
Why? What do you want from me? Okay. What makes me happy? I think... That's a really sad answer. Sober,
take your time.
Okay. Okay, I think what makes me like my happiest moments or my joy is when I do something like this, is where I actually speak my mind out and I actually say things that are useful rather than and just the idea of influencing others rather than it's a conversation between two or a podcast for the first time or any TV show. It just gives me joy to kind of reflect or project my mind or part of it in a way or another out there that can influence one or other one or another person in a positive way, hopefully. Yeah. But yeah, I think my joy is where I see an impact of me. Well, obviously, always a positive one. بس يعني inshallah. Yeah. And that's why I do what I do. That's why I have تخيل. That's why I enjoy this.
Okay. Well, that's my last question. I'm not going to torture you anymore.
Good.
So thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Thank you.
Where can people find out more about you or any of the projects that you're working on?
Well, we have our تخيل website. Mm-hmm. So it's www.تخيل.com.
Yeah.
And my account in Instagram, where I put basically everything there, is مثال العلي. Cool. In Instagram. And
everything will be in the episode description.
Yep. Yeah. Cool. You can find it.
All right. That's it, guys. Season 2 of Millennial Mirrors is done. So let me know what your thoughts are on the season, what you liked and what you didn't like. Also, let me know if there are any topics or guests you would like to have on season 3. As always, you can reach me on my personal Instagram or the Millennial Mirrors Instagram. This has been a production of Finyal Media, and this is Mshad Al-Anezi signing out. Bye, guys. Thank you.